From drone wars in Russia to rising threats in Israel and Iran, earthquakes and pestilence, prophecy is unfolding before our eyes. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City. How are things going out there?
We're doing good.
Everything good out there, David? All right.
Yeah, I think uncensored truth starts now, right?
Yeah, that is true. Absolutely.
That's what the guy said. Introduced.
Well, you know, it seems like no station really wants to tell you the truth. The other day, it was Sunday, I believe, they had a terror attack, or they called it a terror attack, out in, where was that?
Colorado.
Colorado. And so my news was lighting up left and right. So within like 5 minutes, I knew the guy's name. I knew what he had done. I had his picture. I had pictures of the scene. I had everything, you know, and I'm telling my wife, okay, what they're going to find out is this guy did it. And, there's how many people were injured and all that kind of good stuff. And the news, it went for like 2 hours, and finally they started publishing the stuff, you know. And even then, they withheld 90% of the information that I had. It was crazy, you know. But that's the reason that we go with the unfiltered, uncensored truth, because we don't filter it, you know. We don't censor it. We tell you exactly what's going on, and I think that's the reason that people pay a little bit of attention to what we do, David. So anyway, that's the goal.
100%.
Yeah. So anyway, if you'll pray us into the show, we'll go ahead and show everybody what we're going to talk about today.
Nice. This is going to be fun. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for making us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you that we can get your word out to others so that they would know that they're made in your image as well, and that you love them. So we ask, Father, that this word would go and the seeds would grow, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. And as we get down toward the end of the show, we're going to give people an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because things are getting a little dicey right now. And I think you might want to pay attention to what's going on. Anyway, here's the show topics.
Just in case, but we'll show you how in the end. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Show topics today that we expect to talk about is the Russian-Ukrainian war, the escalation, and the fragile diplomacy that's going on there. In the Middle East, I've got several reports, intensified conflicts and diplomatic strains there, earthquakes and pestilences in various places. And the last words there, various places, is something you need to really pay attention to. And then Bible prophecy, the interpretations, awareness, reflections, and preparedness. And we'll get into a lot of that as we go. So I'm just going to kick it off here, David, really quick with Russia-Ukraine 1 here. And first of all, Operation Spiderweb was Ukraine's deep strike into Russia. Now, I don't think this was a smart move on the Ukrainians' part, but they did it. It was a planned drone offensive, and it targeted multiple Russian air bases deep within Russian territory, utilizing drones smuggled over 4,000 kilometers into Russia. Those were concealed in little trucks that looked like they were pulling wooden houses or something like that. Russia did retaliate with their largest drone assault of the war. They deployed 472 drones against Ukrainian targets. The attacks resulted in 12 Ukrainian soldiers' deaths and 60 injuries at a training base far from the front lines. And by the way, the guy that was in charge of the Ukrainian bases there, he has submitted his resignation. Zelensky has called him in. He doesn't want him to quit, but we'll see how that goes. There is peace talks in Istanbul right now. Limited progress. On June the 2nd, delegations from Ukraine and Russia met in Istanbul, Turkey, for a second round of talks. Now, the meeting only lasted like an hour. So, you know, there's not much that you can do in an hour's time. But they basically were talking about the release of prisoners, return of abducted children, and then a prisoner exchange. You know, that was really about all that they got done, at least in that second meeting. Now, also, delegations from the Ukraine and Russia did meet again for that second round of peace talks. And let me see. Looks like I got the same one up there, so I'm not going to worry about this one because it's, you know, Donald Trump, Zelensky, and Putin may have a meeting later on. That was the point of the thing. You know, they may be able to meet. But, you know, Russia isn't. Okay, here's the deal. Zelensky wants Russia to withdraw from the Ukraine. Russia's got 20% of the Ukraine in their pocket right now, so why should they? And, you know, they are also better armed than the Ukraine. The Ukraine is also striking deep inside of Russia. I guess they don't figure that Russia can strike deep inside of Ukraine? Are they stupid or what? I mean, okay, David, that's it from me. What do you think?
I find it interesting that they use, you know, we think of the war drones, like the big, giant, you know, multi-million dollar planes. They were using actual drones with little, and they taped bombs to them.
Yeah.
You know, like,
suicide
like some of my friends would be flying out here in the park.
Yeah.
And they're easy to get. You know, you can get used ones all over the place for $300, $400, $500. And it's just a drone. And you could you put on the plane, you put it up, you fly it for miles, you have a bomb on it, you drop it on. Which that's why they're regulating all this stuff.
No,
it's not because of us nice people, it's because of these crazy ham ass people that are all around. So there's that. Well, yeah, they're taking, you know, $500 worth of stuff and destroying these multi million dollar planes. And Putin's not having it.
He's no.
Like, this, he declared it, oh, this is the Russian Pearl Harbor.
Well, it sort of was. I mean, they, there was even on one of the news agencies that I go through, there was a guy that posted on there, you know, something about, you know, well, you know, this is all the fault of Russia. Okay, well, yeah, Russia attacked you. I understand that. You know, yeah, they invaded, yes. But, I mean, he was putting it like Russia had no reason whatsoever to attack. And we've discussed it on the show before that there was an agreement between the United States and the Soviet Union that they would never incorporate the Ukraine into NATO. That was a deal. And I put that in there, and the guy said, well, are you smarter than a fifth grader? And I said, absolutely. Are you smarter than a first grader? All you've got to do is do some research, and you'll figure it out. You know, and I never heard from him again because I guess he looked it up on AI or something and found out that, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. You know, so in other words, yeah, Russia did do it, but it's really when you get down to it, and I'm going to get hate mail again for saying this, but actually the fault lies with the United States of America and with NATO for breaking the deal that they did in the 1980s. End of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, David?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, caveat, it wasn't the current administration, it was the previous one.
Right.
When they had the puppet in there and they were just doing whatever they wanted to do to bring on World War III.
Right.
Because that's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even Trump the other day said, you know, Biden was executed in 2020 and they just had a puppet ever since. And they're like, wow. Now even he's saying it.
Yeah.
We all knew that.
Well, you know, we had a show earlier several months ago where we were talking about the that auto pen, and if you remember, we discussed it pretty deep, and I think it's coming back. I really do. I think that eventually they're going to get to the point where they say, okay, exactly who was operating the auto pen and when, and you know, they're going to get they're going to start issuing these subpoenas. Now, you know, if they subpoena Biden, then, you know, of course he's going to say, you know, I don't know nothing about nothing, and he'd be telling the truth. But they're going to subpoena his wife. They're going to subpoena Hunter, and especially with Hunter, he, you know, supposedly has a pardon in place. You know, a future pardon in place. So he's not supposed.
Just in case he does anything, he's pardoned.
Yeah, and he's not supposed to be able to say. Or take the fifth. When you're clear of all charges, you don't have no chance of being charged for it. You can't take the fifth. So if he gets on there and they start asking questions. Well, Jill Biden might be in prison, and Joe Biden might be in prison too, not based on what he did as a president, but based on what he did as vice president. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on here. It's going to get fun, in my opinion, as the months go, as long as the Republicans will stay on it. That's my fear, is they're going to drop it and move on.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. That's an interesting point you brought up about the being pardoned. The rules of being pardoned are you have to admit some kind of guilt, or
correct.
What are you being pardoned of?
That is correct.
Okay. So they have to admit the guilt, which means they got to tell all, if you would. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Right.
Where, you know, if you didn't do anything, then, okay, I'll tell all. I didn't do nothing. Here's this. But they actually did, so... And a preemptive pardon is highly illegal. You can't do that.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that either. Yeah.
You're not allowed to. And you can't pardon someone for something they haven't done yet.
Right.
Oh, it's a preemptive? No. It's not how this works. But they're trying anything they can. I mean, they're just making crap up as they go.
Yeah.
But why do you need to pardon someone if they didn't do anything wrong?
Right,
they've been
exactly.
telling us the whole time, oh, no, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You're going to pardon Fauci. Why? Yeah. Oh, why? Yeah. Why is that? You think he did something wrong?
Uh-huh.
But they're all null and void anyway if it was an auto pen.
I think so.
It wasn't the president who signed it.
Well, you know, as far as I understand it, and I could be wrong about this, but as I understand the use of an auto pen, it is okay to use it. The President of the United States can designate somebody to use it on a specific document. They've even signed bills into law this way. Obama did. But the thing is that he actually told Congress what he was going to do before he did it, and they okayed it. You know, so. But anyway, you're supposed to know what it is that's going on. And I remember several news reports over the years where the reporters would yell something at Biden, why did you do this or why did you do that? And he would look at them with the most mystified face I have ever seen, like, huh? What in the world are you talking about? And in one case, even said, I didn't do that. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he had no idea what was going on. He had no idea who was using this auto pen thing. But if I had to take a good guess, it would be Jill Biden and Hunter Biden that did most of the auto pen signings. That would just be my personal guess at it.
Yeah, and not because she's got any brains or anything. She's being coerced, and they probably got a lot of stuff on her. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about her whole family saying, hey, you like your family?
Protect
them. Well, yeah, this is what's going to happen if you don't do what we tell you.
So
100%, because she's got no brains at all.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who insists on being called doctor when they're not, there's a mental problem there.
Yeah.
And even if they are doctors, he's like, stop it. Stop with the titles.
Yeah.
All
right, well, let's look at what's going on in Israel right now. You got the escalation in Gaza. The conflict between Israel and Hamas has intensified, with the Israeli Defense Forces expanding their ground operations in Gaza, and reports are indicating a significant terrorist casualties and destruction of infrastructure. Now, there are a lot of false claims out there of humanitarian crisis, but actually, if you look at credible reporting, you'll find out that the Gazan citizens are really shocked to find out all of a sudden that all that aid that they're having to pay for through the terrorists is actually free and now being distributed freely by Israel. So they can scream all they want to, but the thing is they got mega supplies. Anyway, as far as the European Union is concerned, they're looking at this relationship with Israel as an escalation, of course, and they're actively considering suspending any association agreement with Israel, granting the country preferential trade access to the EU's large market. Now, the move is prompted by concerns, again, raised by Hamas officials who continue to claim that without providing any proof whatsoever that its citizens are suffering from humanitarian rights loss. The U.S. position, as of June 2nd, the United States maintains a multifaceted and evolving stance on the Israel-Gaza conflict, balancing strong support for Israel's security with increasing concerns over regional stability. And you look here at the U.S. policy on Israel and Gaza. This is as of June 2025. Ceasefire efforts with hostage negotiations. The U.S. has actively mediated a proposed 60-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Israel has accepted the U.S.-backed proposal, which includes provisions for the release of hostages and increased humanitarian aid to Gaza. However, Hamas, as usual, has refused it, seeking amendments that to address their demands for a permanent ceasefire and complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza, which is never going to happen. And then you've got the humanitarian assistance and aid distribution. In response to the claims of humanitarian crisis in Gaza, the U.S. has supported the establishment of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, a nonprofit organization responsible for aid distribution. However, the GHF has faced criticism for alleged lack of neutrality and effectiveness, leading to the resignation of its executive director, Jake Wood. The U.S. continues to explore alternative mechanisms to ensure the delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza's population. And let's see here, I got one more for you. This is, again, post-war governance and reconstruction plans. The U.S. has proposed a plan for the post-war governance of Gaza, envisioning a reformed Palestinian Authority, big mistake, leading the territory with support from international partners. I just think that's a terrible idea. That's my personal opinion. Domestic political dynamics and public opinion. Within the U.S., there's a growing divide in public opinion regarding support for Israel. Republican lawmakers largely continue to back Israel, and the Democrats are falling off left and right. And then you've got the legislative and policy measures where the U.S. government's voiced opposition to certain Israeli policies, such as the expansion of settlements in the West Bank, which belong to Israel, viewing those as obstacles to peace. In summary, the United States continues to support Israel's right to self-defense and is also involved in shaping the post-conflict governance plans for Gaza, though these initiatives face challenges both domestically and, of course, internationally. What do you think of all that, David?
Well, that's fun and exciting. But remember the scorpion and the frog, right?
There we go.
Here we are. Hamas has got no interest in backing down on anything. They'll say whatever to try and get all these libtards on their side. Right. And even some, we see these protests here in the United States. Palestine is our home. Well, let's move you over there.
Mm-hmm.
But they do this and they cry and they make these fake videos of, these kids are hurting. Oh, look at this. And they're starving and the kid's crying in the hospital. I lost my mom. I lost my dad. And if you look into it, they've made up all the videos, and they're surprisingly well staged.
Let me interject here real quick, and then I'll let you continue. But I actually have news footage that I can produce it if anybody wants to see it, where the same kid is involved in several different scenes in several different locations, suffering from exactly the same injury. In other words, they keep using them. And keep using them. It's basically Photoshop stuff, but it's go ahead, David. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, they're actor characters, and that's what they do, is they go around from place to place and they make these scenes up. And then they put up with tons of fake accounts, and then they just have people all day long are going on. Let's say one guy controls 100 different accounts. And they're all pro-Palestinian, and they're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And look, everybody's passing this video around. It must be true. No, it's the same guy just logging into all the different accounts.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is they're taking our money, and even Mark Sutherland has come on and showed how the UK is funding Hamas, and they're using that money to do all this stuff.
Yes.
So it's just crazy. Yeah. I tell him he's got to get out of there. You know, America's built on people fighting back. So we're not going to play that game for much longer. And so it's either Jesus returns or we're just going to beat them up and keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I know Mark's been a little bit concerned the last few times that we've spoken with him on air. They're getting to a point now where they're prosecuting preachers for preaching on the street. They're picking up people in their homes because they disagree with what the government is doing. He's an outspoken Christian, and he's going to preach, whether you want to hear it or not, he's going to do it. And, he's got some serious concerns there, hopefully we can keep him above the fray. I don't really know what we can do over here in the U.S., but, Mark is operating.
Well, we pray and we send the anger over.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely needs that. And, we'll be having him on again here pretty soon. He can kind of give us an update on that. He has to be really careful. We say we're unfiltered, uncensored, and we are, but that doesn't mean that Mark's going to divulge everything he knows when he's talking to us, because he could get into some serious trouble where we are still going to be able to do what we need to do here, at least for now, David. Maybe not for long, but for now, anyway. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to do it anyway, and you know what? Whatever. Like Paul says, it's like, why didn't you kill me when you stoned me? I would have been home. And Jesus is like, nah, I got some stuff to do. We're not going to go home until Jesus is ready.
Amen.
And like Paul says, it's a momentary light affliction.
Mm-hmm.
He was stoned to death 3 times, drowned, got bit by a viper.
Mm-hmm.
Trying all sorts of things. Momentary. He's absolutely right. It's all momentary.
One thing,
we get home, it's going to be like, this is glorious. What was I worried about?
I got to mention this because of what you just said, and that is, I used to watch a show on TV. It was called Duck Dynasty. Some people might look at my beard and say, you're trying to be there. No, trust me, it's nowhere close. Founder, Phil Robertson, passed away this past week. And the family announced it, and there was no sorrow here. As a matter of fact, they said that Phil had told them years ago, don't you dare cry when I'm gone, because I'm going to be in a lot better place than you are. He would preach the gospel everywhere he went. When they started the show, Duck Dynasty, he said, nobody's going to want to watch a show with a bunch of rednecks in it. That was his response to the company. And they said, no, we really want to do this. And he said, okay, there's one thing that must be in the show then. And he picked up his Bible, and he was waving it. He said, this is what we're built on. This is what we're about. And I'm not going to shy away from it. And he didn't. They ended every episode with a prayer. And it drove the folks there crazy. But he was, he made sure that happened. And listening to his sons after the funeral and all that, they were recounting some of the things that he did. And one of them was a big muscular guy, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever his name is, before there was such a guy, right? And he was parading around, and Phil said, yeah, you're a big man, aren't you? You got all those huge muscles and all that. I just got one question for you, son. What you going to do with them muscles when they bury you? He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen if you'll come to my house. And the guy said, okay, I'll go. And he left. Phil left. Okay, and so his son Jay said, well, man doesn't even know where we live, Dad. Doesn't even know where we are. He said, if he's really interested, he'll find me. And he said, sure enough, the man showed up at his door the very next day. And by the time he was done, he said tears were pouring down his face because he just accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've got to get that out there for everybody that enjoyed Duck Dynasty. And I know there was a lot of fans out there. And Phil will be missed. But let me tell you something. He is happier now than he ever was down here on Earth.
Only if your beard is just as long. Because, I mean, if you're living like, even in the millennium, you're living 1,000 years. That's a long beard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. And when you, you run back on his history a little bit, he was a bad man. Number one, he was a great quarterback. He actually was starting in front of Terry Bradshaw. He kept Terry Bradshaw on the bench, but he kept looking up, wanting to go duck hunting. So Bradshaw took over and became a Hall of Fame quarterback. But Phil could have done it if he wanted to. He didn't. He had no desire whatsoever to do that. Crazy. But anyway, he had run around on his wife and all that other stuff, and even his brother and sons were telling her to leave him. And his sister stepped in and said, you stop doing that, because one of these days you're going to find out that he's going to influence more people than anybody else in this family. He's going to bring more people to Christ than anybody else. And they all laughed at him and ridiculed him. Look what happened. Exactly what she said. Okay, we are running very, very low on time here. So real quick, I want to get this on screen for you guys. Because we do want you to shop with a purpose and support our mission here. A great way to support our ministry, other than just donating to it directly, which you can do at lastchristian.net, is you're going to buy this kind of stuff anyway. You'll find the conservative store there. We also have the coffee that David's going to tell you about here in just a minute. And then also Christian Book is also one of our affiliates. But go ahead and tell them about Everyday Dose there, David.
You mean this?
Yeah. There you go. Show that again. Yeah, I got one of them too.
It's cool. I like it. Well, I'm starting to like that it's a quick powder that can add too. Yeah. You can say, instant coffee. Nah, it's a little bit different than that, but it's got all the mushrooms and the collagen and everything else in it. I've noticed hair's growing and nails are growing and everything. My joints are working better. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. So if you like it, you get it through us, and they give us a little thank you for that too. And then that's the way we work everything. If you want to just support us directly, you can definitely just send that over. You can even go to thehiddenday.com. There's several spots over there. You just send cash money.
Absolutely.
Or you can buy the stuff that's there.
Yeah, you're going to buy it anyway. You might as well buy it through us.
Yeah, you can buy it anyway. You might as well get it through us. The main thing, though, is make sure you receive Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Because that is his payment for your sin debt, and that's going to be a big problem if you die and he didn't pay for it, because that means that you got to pay for it. So I would encourage you to say, Lord, I receive you. I accept your contract. I will love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton in New York. David, I'm going to keep us going here because I want to get to the Bible prophecy. That's really All what's right. important in here. So I'm going to go to Iran. We'll talk about them a little bit. As of June 2nd, the situation there with Iran's nuclear program and its regional tensions with Israel and the United States remains very volatile. The recent developments have escalated concern over potential military conflict. And as you're going to find out here in a few minutes, this is very, very important stuff. Iran's nuclear advancements, they, according to a report from the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, Iran's stockpile of uranium enriched up to 60% has risen by 408.6 kilograms, however much that is. But anyway, it marks like a 50% increase since just February. And the quantity is sufficient to produce material for multiple nuclear weapons if further enriched to weapons-grade levels. Now, Iran says that the nuclear program is for peaceful purposes, but I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit and let you know that you do not have to enrich uranium in order to have those peaceful purposes, okay? It's not a requirement at all. So, you know, just keep that in mind. The U.S. and Iran have been engaged in indirect negotiations mediated by Oman to revive a nuclear agreement. However, Iran is poised to reject the latest U.S. proposal, which demands an end to uranium enrichment and the export of enriched stockpiles. Now, despite these challenges, both sides have shown willingness to continue talking. And, of course, that's what Iran is good at, talking and not doing anything. Israel's stance is a little bit better, as far as I'm concerned. Israel views Iran's nuclear advancements as a threat to its very existence. They have expressed frustration with the ongoing negotiations, and their officials fear that the United States may accept a deal that allows Iran to maintain its enrichment capabilities, thereby limiting Israel's options to counter the threat. I don't know if you agree with that or not, David, but I know I do. And then the last part here, the U.S. intelligence reports indicate that Israel is actively preparing for a potential military strike on Iran's nuclear facilities, with movements of air munitions and military exercises suggesting imminent action. the probability of a military conflict, the likelihood of a military strike on Iran by Israel has increased significantly. The factors contributing to this assessment include Iran's accelerated nuclear program, stalled negotiations, of course, and while the United States has expressed a preference for a diplomatic resolution, it's also indicated that all options remain on the table should military or should the negotiations fail. So that's a pretty good indicator, at least for now, that President Trump continues to back Israel 100%. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, I mean, he better.
Yeah, he better. You got that right.
So, well, I think, well, you wanted to talk more about the prophecy. Let's look into that, because I think, you know, we all know what's going to happen. Eventually, every nation is going to go against Israel.
Right.
So that includes the United States.
Unfortunately.
So does that mean this president is going to do it or the next one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it's certainly interesting.
Well, let me ask you this question real quick on with that. Should if Kamala Harris had won this past election, do you think that we would still be supporting Israel right now?
Oh, no. No,
me
we'd be having gay flags and Hamas at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So now all that what happened in Colorado would be happening daily because you'd have Hamas protests over here burning the gay pride protests over there who were who are protesting on their behalf.
Yeah.
And they would come in with flamethrowers and that would just be chaos all over the country. But that's precisely what they wanted, because they don't want you to have guns, but they have all the guns. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to have walls, but they got walls around their property. You know? And although they cry, oh, well, you know, that no one's above the law, they all think they're above the law.
All of them.
And that's
every
funny.
One of them.
Just a little side note, the Nadler over here in New York. ICE raided his office.
I saw that.
They were harboring criminals. And his comment was, oh, if this can happen to a government official, it can happen to anybody. And I'm like, weren't you the one that's crying about no one's above the law? Yeah. But all of a sudden, he's a government official, so now he's above that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then they locked up his aide, too, for trying to block ICE members from doing it. All right, you can go with him.
Yeah, I wish they'd arrested him, too. I got one more thing I want to get out of the way here, David, because then we are going to get into
Bible prophecy.
Yeah, we are going to talk prophecy for sure. But I promise people we're going to talk about earthquakes and pestilences. Well, there it is.
Yay.
You got significant earthquakes have been reported. Now, this is, I want you to look at these dates. May 31st, magnitude 6.1 earthquake. June 1st, another magnitude 4.8. And then also on June 1st, another 2.4. This is in Japan, Indonesia, and California. Now, these events underscore the ongoing seismic activity in various regions. Now, that's what's being reported. They're saying that in various regions. Now, keep that in mind as we go on here. We got pestilences. There's a plague in the United States. Public health officials in Pueblo County, Colorado, have confirmed a human case of the plague. The Pueblo Department of Public Health and Environment is working with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment to investigate the case. Then you got mpox outbreaks in Kenya, 37 confirmed cases and one death. Uganda, 2,531 confirmed cases and 16 deaths across 84 districts. And Rwanda, 6,253 cases have been reported. Now look at the bottom. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and here it is, in various places. That's Matthew 24:7. Go back up to the top there to the reporting that you're getting from all these agencies where it says, oh, there's all this seismic or what, I can't even say that word, in you know, all this earthquake activity in various regions. So, you know, we are closing in on Bible prophecy, in my opinion, and with that, we will start Bible prophecy, and David is the expert here, so we'll be playing with him pretty good. Bible prophecy interpretations, as of June 2nd, numerous Christian scholars and prophecy teachers interpret current global events as aligning with biblical prophecies concerning the end times. The overview highlights how recent developments may fulfill scriptural forecasts, prompting discussions among Bible prophecy scholars and believers. Now, you might know these names, David. I don't, so you can kind of lead on this. This pastor, James Kattis, has emphasized the relevance of Middle East developments to biblical prophecy, urging believers to stay vigilant. You got the Charisma News highlighted the notion of a revived Babylon, suggesting that current events align with prophetic scriptures and may indicate the approaching tribulation period. And then you got Alwan Oost, I guess, shared a prophetic message encouraging believers to step boldly into their God-given callings, interpreting current events as signs of the times. Have you ever heard of any of these people before, or know anything about them, or have comments about them?
No, I mean, Charisma News is out there, but I don't know these pastors, but I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them around the country.
Yeah.
They just picked up some that wrote it.
Yeah, I saw those names. And I said, well, I sure don't know them, but maybe David would. That's the reason I said that. Moving on here, you've got, as of June 2nd, numerous Christian scholars and prophecy teachers interpret current event. Well, same one. Hold on. Let me get to a real one here, okay? Okay, Israel is central to prophetic fulfillment. Now, that we know to be a fact. Israel's prominence in biblical prophecy is underscored by its modern resurgence and geopolitical significance. Ezekiel chapters 34 through 37 describe a physical and spiritual restoration of Israel, which many see unfolding since becoming a nation on May 14, 1948. You got military successes, Israel's victories over adversaries in Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, and Iran are viewed as steps toward fulfilling prophecies of national renewal. Then you got the Temple Mount developments, the increasing Jewish interest in the Temple Mount, and discussions about rebuilding the Third Temple align with expectations of a future temple during the tribulation period, Daniel 9, verse 27, and Matthew 24:15. These events are seen as setting the stage for the eventual acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah by the Jewish people, as prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we'll tend to talk about that one here in just a minute, David, but I want to get your thoughts on all that other stuff. What do you think?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Just a couple of 2-3 minutes ago, we see Russia announced that they have 250 nuclear warheads now targeting Washington, London, and Paris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about, why not New York? I mean, if we're going to go, I want to go in a rapture or at least a nuclear bomb. You could sit outside with a cup of coffee and say, here it comes.
Here it comes.
And you just watch that flash and go, hey, we're home.
Here it comes and here I go. Yeah, I'm out of here. I agree with that.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to be boring. Okay, live a really long life. And there you go.
So we really have to stick around. Yeah.
Let me go in a nuclear waste bomb.
When I lived in Dallas, I always said, yeah, they've probably got Dallas targeted. But where I live now, they could care less. care less about me out here.
It's got to be New York and Washington. And for more reasons than we think. And because the land on Washington, D.C. and the land in New York City actually belongs to the Crown.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that. So there's that. If you buy a house in New York City, you don't own the land. It's like,
that's weird. That's weird. Yeah.
It's really weird. Mm-hmm. So you're basically buying a share in some kind of corporation.
Yeah.
But that's another story. Let's talk about the nuclear bombs. All right. So Russia's pissed. They're like, you ain't doing nothing. We're going to target everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're in cahoots with Iran, as we know.
Yep.
And who do you think's helping Iran make all this nuclear stuff so they can say we didn't make it?
Yeah. Well, okay, you're leading me right into this one. Okay? Because here's the deal. We have talked about all these different prophecies for a long time, but there's several that we haven't ever hit. A lot of scripture we hadn't ever hit, and we're going to today. You got the prophecy of Gog and Magog. Okay, now we've talked about the Gog and Magog thing, but not like this. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, the prophet describes a massive coordinated invasion of Israel by a confederation of nations led by Gog of the land of Magog. These nations are traditionally identified by scholars as regions corresponding to modern-day Russia, Iran, possibly the Sudan or Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, and Central Asia. Now, Ezekiel 38:8 says, in the latter years you will come into the land that is brought back from the sword against the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 38:16 says, you will come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days. Now, the text specifically is very specific here that the invasion happens in the latter years, suggesting, and David, you're going to have to say the word.
That's eschatological.
Thank you. This is commonly interpreted as the end times. Now, do you agree with that? And I've got more scripture coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got a ton of scripture, too.
So I bet you do. Okay, go ahead.
And and a ton just based on a nuclear bomb.
Okay.
But, you know, and here we are. I mean, let's start in Zechariah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, the book of Zechariah. And it's 14:12. Zechariah, for all you English-speaking Americans. And 14:12 clearly says, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. So they're going against Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and it looks to me like one of their weapons is going to be used against them. Because it says this, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Okay? So this is even more analogous of a neutron bomb, really, which they're working on as well, but it could certainly be nuclear.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, just unlike Family Guy, it's not nuclear. It's nuclear.
Nuclear.
Just say nuclear. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
All right.
Okay.
Everyone says nuclear.
Yeah.
Like my father says, it's not nuclear. It's nuclear. It's not nuclear. Anyway.
Okay.
So 2 Peter 3:10 and says the elements melt with a fervent heat, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So it sounds like a thermonuclear detonation.
It does, yeah. That I can't think of anything else that comes close to that.
Well, the only one I can think of is possibly if the Lord comes back and that sword out of his mouth is what does
it. Yeah.
He uses the stuff that he made to do stuff with the stuff that he made. So why wouldn't he use a nuclear bomb? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Revelation 9:17, out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three, a third of the part of men were killed. Okay? So they're talking about the angels of destruction there. So that's that. Isaiah 24, the earth mourns and is torn asunder. Mm-hmm. So the earth is utterly broken down. It's clean. Earth is clean dissolved. And it is moved exceedingly. My earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's analogous of possibly all these bombs or even one big one that they make could alter the spin of the earth and cause it to do a...
So could a super volcano.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A Super Bowl? What?
Super volcano.
Oh, yeah. Super volcano, not the Super Bowl. Okay.
Can you imagine all the super volcanoes on Earth going off at exactly the same time?
Which could be caused by nuclear explosions, just cracking out open a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
just as an example, if Russia says, okay, I got my 250 nuclear bombs, let's send them all out now, go, and you got 250 of these things going off at once.
Yeah.
They can certainly cause some chaos on the earth.
And the thing is that, you know, if they launch, we launch. You know, I mean, now, if Biden was still in office, you would have to get everybody together that was acting as president. And from what, now, I'm not making this up. This is coming from the Biden camp, okay? They were telling people all this. They're coming out with books left and right about how there was a group of people that were actually making the decisions, and they, you know, Biden really had no clue what was happening. So they would have all had to get together and vote, and by the time they did that, we're dead because the nukes would have already hit. But now with Trump, if Russia launches, I promise you Trump will launch right right behind him within a millisecond. You know, I mean,
and probably launch that golden dome that he's got.
Yeah.
if they're telling us about the golden dome now, it means it's already in place.
Yeah, probably. All right, look at this one now, David, because we're going to continue here. The divine intervention in Israel's deliverance. Okay, the Lord declares that he will intervene supernaturally to protect Israel. Now, that's in Ezekiel 38, 18 and 22. God sends earthquakes, torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and brimstone upon the invading forces. In Ezekiel 39, 3 through 6, the attackers are utterly defeated. Their weapons are destroyed, and judgment falls not only on the armies, but on the on their homelands as well. We kind of talked about that in the last show. This overwhelming divine intervention is significant not merely for military reasons, but because of its spiritual ramifications. And again, we're going to get to those spiritual ramifications, and they regard Israel here in just a minute. But what do you think of these, David? We're digging deeper into Ezekiel 38 than we've ever gone before.
Yeah. That was next on my list. So the whole battle, and that talks about, you know, even at the end of Revelation when Jesus comes back and the sword comes out of his mouth, this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, they're going to take 7 months just burying the dead.
That's crazy.
And you know, it says, listen, if you find one of these, just put a marker on it and run away. Well, why is that? Because it's probably nuclear at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's radiation cleanup protocols, and they're going to have to do something about that.
Yeah.
But they didn't know it, you know, and it's called nuclear bombs back then. It's just what we call it now.
Right.
So they'll spend all this time doing this. It's going to happen because it's already written that it was.
Right.
So I am of the opinion, and I'm going to be writing a book on this as well. So we see the angels in Revelation, but that word in the Greek is angelos, which could mean messenger as well.
Okay.
And two of them specifically say, stop that, don't worship me, I'm just, you know, a guy,
right,
and I'm of your brethren. Mm-hmm. One of them specifically says, I am of your brethren, the prophets. So I'm surmising that all those angels that are pronouncing the judgment are these prophets here that wrote this stuff down, and now they're just spelling it out during the time of the tribulation.
Okay.
And that they're not necessarily what we would think of angels with the wings flying around doing all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are the messengers of God, and they are the prophets, because that's what he says. He says, I'm of your brethren, the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Well,
who's his brethren? He's Jewish. I'm your brethren, and we're the prophets.
Uh-huh, right.
Probably means they're one of the prophets.
Right.
So Joel 2, 30, it says, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. That's always fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood. Okay. The when you set off a nuclear bomb, because things have happened like this before. I remember in the 1800s, they had the volcano went off, and they had the cold summer, and they couldn't grow anything because they literally blocked out the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the pillars of smoke. So you have this opening up again, but it would literally block out the sun, and the fallout is red. So it could literally just turn the moon red because you're looking at the moon through all this stuff. So it kind of fits a narrative. We'll have to wait and see, but it does fit the narrative. Revelation 6:12. This is fun. The sky recedes, and we see the great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell. And heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. So you see that the sky's rolling up.
That's
we see that with a nuclear bomb, but it could also mean other things.
Yeah.
And if it rolls up, it's got to have another dimension to roll into. So I think this is like an interdimensional kind of a thing.
Well, look at this one, David. I want to make sure that I get here. The spiritual awakening in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most profound outcomes of this prophecy is the spiritual revival and national recognition of the God of Israel. Many theologians and all true Christians believe this will be a major turning point for Jewish belief regarding Jesus, Yeshua. as the promised Messiah. It's Ezekiel 39:7. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord. And you look at Ezekiel 39:22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Now this moment is interpreted as the catalyst for a widespread spiritual awakening in Israel, a fulfillment of other prophecies such as Zechariah 12:10, they will look on me whom they pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. Romans 11:25-27, Paul writes that all Israel will be saved, linking national repentance with end time events. And let's go ahead and just roll it on here. The foreshadowing of the messianic appearance, the dramatic rescue of Israel from certain destruction combined with undeniable signs of divine power removes any doubt for many Jews that the God of Israel is intervening directly. This recognition is seen by many in Christian, there's that word again, as preparing Israel's heart for the revelation of Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. This is not a forced conversion. Let me read that again. This is not a forced conversion, but rather a national spiritual realization. This sets the prophetic stage for the second coming of Christ, when he will be welcomed as King and Redeemer. On that, you can see Matthew 23:39 and Revelation 1:7. In short, Ezekiel 38:39 is not just a war prophecy. It is a redemptive prophecy. It portrays Israel not only being physically delivered, but spiritually awakened. Through this miraculous deliverance, the Jewish people will finally acknowledge Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah, fulfilling the spiritual promises God made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets. Okay, David, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, they would have to. Matthew 23:29 is that's a chicken event we always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Jesus says, you won't see me again until you say this, which is implying that they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So in Israel, that's what they were designed for to begin with, is to highlight the Messiah. And it's only their blindness in part is so the Gentile nations had a chance to come in as well.
Amen.
Because not for nothing, had they accepted Jesus the first time around, it would have kicked off the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And we would not have had a chance to be saved, because it would have been them. We'd have to become a Jew at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but God had his plan of two different groups.
Mm-hmm.
Israel, church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to see is we will rule and reign in the heavenlies with him, and they will rule and reign on the earth. So Israel will receive the Messiah, and he'll rule with a rod of iron. They will take over the earthly duties, and we'll take over the spiritual duties.
Amen.
That's just kind of the way it goes. So let me see. We got Isaiah, the day of Lord, desolation of fire, and Isaiah 13, Habakkuk. When do we talk about Habakkuk? 3:11, it says, but basically his brightness was as the light, and he had horns, rays coming out of it, and there was a hiding of his power. So burning coals and flashing rays, we see over there too. Jeremiah 25, worldwide slaughter, and the buried of the dead. Malachi 4:1, the day that burns like an oven. Oi, that's fun. Global slaughter over there. And we see the sky rolled up. We see that in Isaiah 34.
Mm-hmm.
All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and heaven shall be rolled.
I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to stop. You keep going. But what I've got on screen here is the way people can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that of course is the ABCs of salvation. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. You got to admit it. You have to. There's a contract out there. You've fallen into the sin contract. Too bad you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to get yourself out of that. You got to repent, rescind your signature from that old contract, and that's confessing. Okay, I confess. That was me, but I'm out of that now. So now I'm going to receive Jesus Christ, and I speak as a witness that I will accept the contract that Jesus has for me and his salvation, and then you can come and. You can watch from the mezzanine as all this stuff goes on.
Amen.
Isaiah 66, the Lord comes with fire. Revelation 8:7, trumpet judgments, environmental collapse. Revelation 16, there's sores on the body. And then scorching heat. And Daniel calls it a time of trouble unlike any other. And he says he will destroy those who destroy the earth in Revelation 11. So you can just touch on those, rewind this, and look those up. It's, there's a lot of stuff that this could be nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not blown up by nuclear weapons or the Lord don't come, Lord willing, we'll see you next time. You guys have a great day.
Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.